Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Sports Chat with your man, T-Wash. Today's show, we basically going to focus on the NCAA tournament, some of the upsets that's been going on, and we're also going to dive into some NFL free agency. I mean, there's been a lot of crazy things happening in NFL free agency this offseason. A lot of good moves being made. I just want to talk about what you guys may think. Like, do you think any of these teams have made some legitimate moves that, you know, could basically push them to the top of the NFL next season? I also want to get your opinion on who you think going to make it to the Final Four and who you think is going to win the national championship. Also, you know, I have a show where you don't just have to go off the topics I throw out. If you got any sports topics you want to discuss with me, you can bring them to the table. So it's just not what I throw out. You know, this show, you know, gives the callers options. So if you want to talk about a particular sport or anything, you want to talk about what's on your mind as it pertains to sports, you can do that. And we can discuss it here on this open platform. If you guys want to call in, the number is 1-347-855-8024. Once again, that's 1-347-855-8024. Now, I'm going to get off into this tournament. Now, what's going on now? I'm trying to pull it up on my phone, but last I checked, Nevada and Texas were tied. And Nevada has the ball, and they may be going to overtime. But right now, I'm having a hard time pulling it up on my phone. So until I get it, I'm just going to discuss something that's near and dear to my heart. And it killed us today. I'm a Purdue Boilermaker fan. That's my squad. Been down with the Boilers since the Glenn Robinson years. And this is going back to 92. Stay Fuller in the day, but we had a major loss. We lost Isaac Hodges with a broken elbow. So what that's going to do, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the backup center, who I do like, Matt Harms. He's going to have to come in, and I'm not expecting him to get buckets, but I am expecting him to play with the normal amount of energy that he plays with. Maybe if he can get the garbage points, that'll help out. He's going to have to rebound. He's going to have to block shots. He's going to do it all. And Vince Edwards, who's been the missing man for the last 12 games, it seems like 12. It may be like 8 games. I'm exaggerating with the 12, but it feels like it because Vince Edwards hasn't done anything. So, if he could step it up, then that'll help because they got to play the Bulldogs on Sunday, and that's going to be a tough game. You know how it is when Butler get in the dance. When Butler makes, they make a run. I mean, it's like a lot of miracle things happen for the Bulldogs, and it's crazy because the Boilers spanked the Bulldogs in the Crossroad Classic this year. And this year was the first time that the Boilers beat the Bulldogs in years. It's always seemed like Butler had the Boilers' number. But now it's going to be extra tough because the Butler, like I said, they have that tournament magic. And then they're going to be extra motivated to beat the Boilers because of how the Boilers spanked them back in December. I mean, the Boilers beat them by 25 points. So Butler going to be looking for revenge on Sunday. And I hate to say it. I mean, even with Isaac Haas, I had a feeling that Butler, if Butler beat Arkansas, that they probably would beat, you know, the Boilers. And, you know, I mean, even now, you know, I get them even a greater chance to beat them now with Isaac Haas. But like the Texas-Nevada game is in overtime. Texas is winning 77-73. It's looking like this is going to be an upset by Texas, but they kind of blew it in the last few minutes there. But now they have the lead, and it's in overtime. But, it really sucks because this Haas last year, and don't get me wrong, I've been up and down on Haas. You know, he drives me nuts because he's 7'2", damn near 300 pounds, muscular. It's not like he's a fat 300 pounds. He's a solid 300 pounds. And it's like he don't take advantage of size. He doesn't power his defender back to the basket and dunking on him, you know, like he should. But he's the major part of their team, and they're going to be hurting without him. Carson Edwards is going to have to play big-time ball. Vincent Edwards is going to have to play big-time ball. Dakota Mathias, we need him to hit threes. We need P.J. Thompson to be a distributor and don't turn the ball over and hit timely threes. And like I said, Harms, we're going to need Harms to do the dirty work. He's going to have to crash the boards. He's going to have to block shots. And he's going to have to get the little garbage points when they present themselves. And they're going to have to really do something to beat Butler because, like I said, Butler is Butler during the dance. They tend to win games and tend to upset folks. And like I said, they're going to be extra motivated because of the way the Boilers waxed them earlier this year. They're going to be motivated to get that payback. Some of the games yesterday, you had Kentucky. They basically beat Davidson. Davidson gave them a little bit of a scare, but it wasn't enough. Now, the upset of the night was Buffalo destroying Arizona. I couldn't believe that, man, especially the way everybody talking about DeAndre Ayton, you know, the 7-foot freshman that they have. Everybody projected him to be like a number one, a number two draft pick in his upcoming draft. And I don't know. I mean, I fell asleep on that game, so I don't know what happened. But they must have, maybe they locked him down or got him in foul trouble or something. But I don't know what happened. But Buffalo destroyed Arizona, and that was an upset. And that was a 13 seed, man. 13 seed beat a 4. You know, normally it's the 12-5 matchup where all the upsets happen, but that hasn't happened. It's been an 11-6. Loyola beat Miami yesterday with basically a game-winning shot. Guy hit the 3 at the buzzer. We thought it was the buzzer, but they had 4/10 of a second to try to do something, and Miami couldn't do anything. But the dance, I mean, it's been good so far. It's not the best year. You know, like, I remember a few years back, you had constant upsets, constant buzzer beaters. You haven't had a buzzer beater, a legit buzzer beater yet. I mean, and this is usually the rounds where it happened, in the first couple of rounds. Well, the first weekend is usually when it happened, because next weekend, you're going to start getting good teams. And there are not going to be any buzzer beaters. The game is going to be more competitive, and it's not going to be much lucky stuff happening, you know, when the good teams match up with each other next week. But, yeah, oh, that sucked, man. They showing the replay now. Haas, he shouldn't even been in the game, man. They was blowing him out. He shouldn't even been in the game. Fractured his elbow, man. It's crazy. Because before the Boilers went on that little losing streak, a lot of people projecting the Boilers to go to the Final Four. And I believe they might have made the Final Four. But when they went on that losing streak, that kind of brought me back down to earth. And I was, you know, picking them to get to the Sweet 16 and going out like they did last year. But like I said, with Butler, you know, with Butler doing what Butler do, man. I don't think the Boilers going to beat Butler on Sunday. I hope they do, but I just don't. But, guys, tell me, what do you think about this tournament? Are you liking what you're seeing so far? Who's your Final Four? Who do you think's, you know, going to win it all? The best game to you guys so far? Give me a call, 1-347-855-8034. 1-347-855-8034. Yeah, hit me up. Let me know what you think. In the South bracket, you had Ohio State beating South Dakota State. They barely escaped that one. Jackrabbits gave them a run, you know, for their money, but they won. Now, I'm curious, you know, I'm a Big Ten guy, so, you know, I root for the Big Ten teams to make it as far as they can make it. You know, Michigan, they won yesterday. Michigan State plays today. You know, Michigan State is usually one of those teams, they like a Butler. They always make a run. No matter who Coach Izzo has on the squad, somehow, some way, Michigan State makes a run. And I can see the same thing happening this year. I mean, what? They wrote, I mean, they got to play Bucknell tonight. Who knows? That might be a tough game for them, but it may not. I mean, Michigan State's number 3. Bucknell's the number 14. If they win, you know, they might end up making it, you know, to play Duke. Root for Michigan State because I'm not a Duke guy at all. And Duke won their game yesterday. They blew out Iona. And Rhode Island, they beat Kentucky, who didn't deserve to get in the tournament anyway. They basically let Kentucky in the tournament because of Trey Young. I mean, he's good. Well, he started off good. I seen him play one good game, but every other game I watched him play, and I made sure I watched him play because I wanted to see why they compare him to Steph Curry and all that. I mean, he is kind of comparable to him. He has unlimited range. He can handle the ball. He can go to the basket. But I don't know. Like, during that skid Oklahoma had, man, Trey Young really wasn't doing much. He's turned the ball over a lot. And how do you let a team in the dance when they lost 10 out of their last 12 games? They should let Oklahoma State in the game. I don't understand. Oklahoma State should have gotten the dance instead of Oklahoma. They shouldn't have been in it. They really didn't deserve it. And then, like I said, you got Butler taking on Purdue. And unfortunately, I got Butler winning. I hope I'm wrong, but I got him winning. Villanova going to be taking on Colin Sexton in Alabama. Another one of those top freshmen in the country. Colin Sexton's pretty good. He's definitely going to be a top 10 NBA draft pick in his upcoming draft. So that'll be interesting, man, to see. I forgot the point guard name for Jalen Brunson. Yeah, Villanova point guard Jalen Brunson, him matching up against Colin Sexton. Be a pretty good matchup. You had a senior taking on the freshman. Who knows? Maybe Brunson can get him because of that experience. But, you know, we'll find that out on Sunday. So, like I said, the dance has been okay. It hasn't been as exciting as it's been in years past, but, I mean, it's been enough to pique your interest. It's looking like Nevada about to beat Texas. It's 85-83 with 15 seconds left in overtime. So can Nevada hold on? Or can Shaka Smart, the Tupac clone, get his team to tie this game up or take the lead to win? Stay tuned. Guys, if you want to call in and talk about anything, talk about March Madness, what's going on in the tournament, talk about NFL free agency, what I'm about to get into here in a few minutes, or any type of topics, NBA, players, whatever, hit me up, 1-347-855-8034. 1-347-855-8034. right, welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Wash. Had to play some smooth beats for you. That's from my man Sky Zoo. He an unknown rapper, one of those underground rappers, but he pretty good. He pretty cool. He didn't spit no lyrics on that, but that was just a tight beat that I love, so I had to play it for you guys. If you into beats like me. But back to this tournament, what's going on. You got Texas and Nevada. Nevada wins the game in overtime, so there was no upset there. Nevada wins 87-83. Knocked Shaka Smart and his Longhorns out of the dance. So I'm just curious to know who has a perfect bracket so far. Who would have guessed that Buffalo would have beat Arizona? Who would have guessed that Marshall would have beat Wichita State today? Marshall? I mean, come on, man. I mean, who would have guessed that Loyola would have beat well, I can't really say that because going into the dance, everybody was talking about Loyola as being one of those sleeper teams that can make it far. And Miami, you know, nobody really boosted Miami as, you know, a top-tier team that could make it to the Sweet 16 or further. But Loyola is like that was a team I heard everybody talking about going into the dance, you know, as a team that could possibly get far. And you got other games going on right now. You had Texas A&M beating Providence. So that wasn't an upset. Texas A&M was a 7 seed. Providence was a 10. Cincinnati blew out Georgia State 68-53. So not much there. North Carolina blew out Lipscomb 84-66. Not much there. And then, like I said, those Miracle Bulldogs, man, they at it again. Doing what they do when they get in the dance. 79-62. Destroying Arkansas. And now they got to play my boys on Sunday. My poor Boilermakers, who lost their senior starting center. Their senior starting center, Isaac Hodges, to a fractured elbow. I mean, what a tough way to end your collegiate career. Not even having the opportunity to try to help your team get to the Final Four. And it was meaningless. He shouldn't even been in the game. They were up by 20 points on Cal State Fullerton. There was really no reason for Matt Painter to have him in the game. But he did. And my man broke his elbow. And that basically, in my opinion, puts an end to the Boilermaker run. Because I don't think they're going to beat Butler. Like I said, I hope they do. But as I know, and as a lot of you guys, you know, who watch a lot of basketball know out there, Butler can go on the run. And they have a bunch of, you know, 3-star players. They don't even have 5-star players. They have a bunch of 3-star players, and they always seem to go on the run. You had West Virginia beating Murray State 85-68. So it really wasn't a lot of upsets today, if you want to be honest. Only upset today, it looked like, was Marshall and Wichita State. That's it. The upcoming games, you got Kansas State taking on Creighton. I think that's going to be a good game because Creighton's pretty good. They have a good point guard. His name, I don't remember his first name, but his last name is Foster. And he could put the ball in the bucket. He's pretty good. Kansas State, I don't know much about them except they're a Big 12 team. But I don't know much about them, so I don't know how good they are. But the game is between the 8 and the 9 seed. So they're pretty much evenly matched, so it's going to be a competitive game. And then you got Michigan State, number 3 seed, taking on 14 seed Bucknell. I don't know much about Bucknell either, but I know about Michigan State. They kind of like Butler. They tend to go on these runs in the dance too, and I could see them going on another run. They have the freshman, Jaren Jackson. They got Miles Bridges, a sophomore, who's probably, well, both of those guys are going to be in the lottery in this upcoming draft. They got the Cassius Winston at point guard. He's a steady point guard. the leader, can run the team, Michigan State can make a good run in this dance. And you got the one seed, Xavier, taking on Texas Southern. I mean, are we going to ever see a one seed beat a 16? I'm just waiting for that year to happen. It's like, it's never going to happen. Is it going to happen in our lifetime? I mean, I'm not going to lie. I would love to see a 16 beat a 1. I mean, who knows? At 7:20 tonight, maybe this might be the one. Maybe Texas Southern could do it. Maybe they could beat Xavier. I mean, I don't know. But we'll find out. We have a call. What's going on?
Terrence.
Sports Chat with
Hey,
Squash.
This is Ryan.
What's going on, Ryan?
From Bloomington, Indiana. Hey, I was calling about talk about the Boilers a little bit with this injury with Isaac Haas. You can't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts on that, man?
Man. Oh, man, Ryan. Look, even before Haas got hurt, I had a sinking feeling that Butler would put them out because, like I said, man, we know how Butler is. Butler getting the dance,
right,
and they go on a run. It just happens.
Right.
And look what they did today.
Right.
I mean, they destroyed Arkansas. So, I think it's a tough break. I think that Painter shouldn't have had them in the game because they were up 20 points. There was no reason for Isaac Haas to be in the game. And
true.
With him being out, man, my hope is that Matt Harms, you know, he don't have to go trying to be the scorer because he's not really a scorer. My hope for him is to do the dirty work, grab the rebounds, block the shots,
right,
get the easy garbage points, and just be a presence in the paint against Butler, because Butler doesn't have a seven-footer. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
yeah,
we got to worry about their wings and their guards. And,
right,
you know, Vince has been the disappearing man. Vince hasn't played
right
well in about 9 or 10 games. They really need him to step up on Sunday. I'm not worried about Carson Edwards. I believe Carson Edwards will get his. But
right,
it's going to be all on Vince if he's going to keep this run going for us, Butler fans, man. But honestly, I think Butler going to get him, man, especially now with Haas being hurt. They have no inside presence as far as scoring.
Right.
Like I said, the best we can hope for is that Harms, you know, block a couple shots, get a couple rebounds, get a couple garbage points like putbacks, tip dunks, or something like that. Because we know he doesn't have
right
like an offensive game. He doesn't have a post game or a 10-foot jump shot or anything like that. So we need
right
Vince to step up. We need Dakota Mathias to make a couple of shots, you know, make a couple threes. We need PJ to play steady at the point guard, make a couple threes because he hasn't been making shooting the ball well. He shot well today, so we need him to continue
yeah
that. And we need Nojel Eastern, that freshman, to come in and play good and make his free throws with the funky shot.
Man, what is up with that shot? And how did nobody
man,
catch
I,
that
I
free throw
no
shot
idea
that he's got?
I have no idea, right? I have no idea, buddy, but yeah, that's how I feel right now, man. I mean, I felt like even with Haas that Butler probably would get him, but I really feel like
yeah
it now. Unless, like I said, unless Harms do what I just said, do the dirty stuff, block some shots, be inside presence, get the putbacks, and Vince, I believe Vince has to get him at least 22, between 22 and 28, I think Vince need to get him on Sunday. I think Carson going to get that. We need
I
Vince
do too
to do that too. And we need Dakota
yeah
Mathias to hit like three threes. Maybe Ryan Klein come off the bench, hit a couple of threes. We need that three ball to be going. If they can hit like between 10 and 15 threes, I think they'll be in good shape. And they got to play good defense because
yeah
Butler wings are good.
Right. Well, what I thought at first with Haas getting hurt, you know, I see it going two ways because Haas definitely helped us on the offensive side, but his pros to the offensive side, you know, it almost canceled out with the lack of rebounding and everything on the defensive side, and it's just slow
mm-hmm
reaction speed. And you know, so
yes,
I see it going one of two ways: either our guards are no play and we struggle the whole game, and are lucky to be within single digits, or Arns comes out solid on D, and everybody picks it up, and they play, you know, that style of ball that they were playing in the first half of the year, where, you know, a little bit of penetration, you know, but
yeah.
I'm like you, man. It's something about that Butler jersey. I almost wish we could wear some of their uniforms, and then all of a sudden Mathias would hit 10 threes in the game, because that's just kind of how it seems to go. But, you know,
exactly.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I caught the tail end of the Butler game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they waxed them, man. I was telling my wife, I'm like, look, man, Butler do what they do. I'll tell her when I found out about Haas, I was like, dude, I think we're done. I think the Boilers gonna lose to Butler, because Butler does what they do. They go on these runs,
right,
man. And the way they waxed Arkansas today, I mean, damn.
Yeah, they controlled that whole game, at least the second half, they controlled the whole game. And
they were beating them in the first half too.
They were, but I caught the tail end of the first half. And I don't know. It looked like Arkansas still had, you know, quite a bit of juice in them and their speed. And really, quite frankly, that's what scared me about Arkansas facing Purdue, was that, you know, their speed, I felt like, would overtake Purdue. But
mm-hmm.
Butler plays a little bit more Purdue style, where it's set off.
Yeah.
So it's a good point that you make with why was Haas in? You know what I mean?
It was no need for him to be in.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that I'm worried about, too. That's another thing I'm worried about, too, Ryan. Now, you know, we waxed them by 25 in the Crossroad Classics in December. The Boilers waxed Butler. So Butler has that motivation going along with this injury. They got the motivation to get back. So it's like, man, you know, the Boilers going into the game Sunday, you know, with a lot of odds not in their favor, man.
You're right. You're right. I agree, man. I agree. And I wanted to ask you a little bit of what I thought about Miller over there at Arizona. Is his job safe? Or, you know, is he on the chopping block?
What they saying, the FBI got tapes. Saying, you know, tapes of him basically arranging a $100,000 payment to DeAndre Ayton's parents. I mean, you know, when the FBI gets involved,
I didn't know they had
serious.
Him on tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They
okay.
said they got him on tape. They bugged him.
Okay.
So, you know, Arizona's going to have to do something. I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to keep him. They're going to have to, you know, because the FBI involved, man. People go to jail for this stuff. So.
Yeah.
He might be on the chopping block, man. We might not hear about it soon, but before next season run around, we probably going to hear about him being released or him resigning or something. But, yeah, I believe, you know, something's going to come out of that because, yeah, they got him on tape, man. I mean, he's denying it, but they saying
that's
the FBI
what I heard.
Has him on tape.
I heard him deny it. But I did not pay attention. I didn't know that the FBI had said that they specifically had him on tape. But that brings up, I mean, living here in Bloomington, you know, then I can't
I
imagine
know,
that
brother.
His brother would be, you know, would be too far off that beaten path.
You know what? Hey, if you guys get Romeo, I'm saying you guys, you're not a dang old Indiana fan.
I'm not
if
you,
the Hoosiers,
no.
I know. Well, if the Hoosiers get Romeo Langford, man, who's to say that Archie Miller didn't throw no money under his table?
Right.
Because Romeo Langford hasn't made a decision yet.
Right. And their old boy was on last night winning with Houston, Kelvin Sampson.
You
know.
Yep.
I hadn't paid any attention to him. Then, you know, over the last couple weeks, I've noticed his name popping up, and I'm thinking, man, you know, he got let go from IU about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, with
about
the phone call.
Man, I think all these major programs do something dirty. It was even something that came out about Duke, you know, about Coach K, you know. It was just words, you know. Nobody really, like, said any, like, had any proof, you know. The FBI didn't say nothing about him, but, I mean, look. Coach Coach K, he always wanted to have players that played all 4 years and things like that. He never got the one and dones. Now all of a sudden,
right,
he getting all the one and done players. You know what I mean?
True. True.
Where did that come
yeah,
from?
That's true.
When you
yeah.
when you prided your college program to, you know, have seniors and upperclassmen that's gonna play for you for years. Now he getting one and done. He got like three dudes on the team right now that's gonna be one and done. And
right.
next year's class, you know, Duke next year has the best class next year. He got the
right.
top three players in high school coming in next year, and they all gonna be one
got,
and done.
You got three one and dones coming again. Yep, you're right. You're right. I don't know, man.
So,
I don't.
You know,
I don't know.
Hey.
I saw where Crean was headed to what, Georgia. So it's just funny to me how. What's that?
Did he take the job?
That's what I heard. I thought that I heard that on the Sports Talk Radio this morning, was that he went ahead and took the job to Georgia for $3.3 million per year. Yeah.
Yeah, I know he was talking with him, but I didn't know if he took the job or not.
That's just what I understood this morning, was that he took 3.3, signed a 5-year contract for $3.3 million a year down there, Georgia.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And which surprised me a little bit, because I didn't know they threw that kind of money at their basketball program. But
yeah, Georgia,
you know,
football.
Right. But it's just funny. It's funny to me how these guys get in trouble. You know, like Samson. And then, or like, you know, for instance, Steve Fisher back in the, you know, 90s. And then they come up. Then they come up out of nowhere all over again. And I just wonder, how's come nobody talks to the NCAA compliance officers, these lawyers that the universities hire to watch their coaches to make sure that they're in compliance with the NCAA regulations? You know, where are these guys? I'd like to see them up on the podium, you know, saying, hey, man, we told them not to do that.
You know what, Ryan? They all probably getting a piece of the pie, too. I mean, think about it. The NCAA is crooked. They making millions and millions off these players. And I believe these players should get some kind of stipend. You know, they should get something.
I agree.
At least the star players. Yep. I mean, I understand, you know, you have people saying, well, it's not fair that he get this or the football players get this. It's not fair. What about our rugby team? Well, the rugby team not generating no income, you know, no legitimate income for these universities. The football and basketball
right.
programs are generating all the income. So I believe
right.
those two, you know, facets should get some kind of payment. Especially if you're a star.
Right, you think
and they selling your jerseys up in the bookstore and things like that
exactly.
on the campuses. They should get some kind of
exactly.
money out of that, man. So the NCAA, in my opinion, is crooked too. They making all these money, you know, off of these kids, but don't want to give them anything. I think they figure, you know, well, we gave them a scholarship. That's good enough. That's not good enough.
I don't know that it's good enough when you take everything into account, you know, and what I mean by that is just like this year in the Big Ten, where they had like a game, you know, like three games per week. And then they're also expected to get all their studies done. And all this, I mean, I feel busy at 36 with three kids, you know, so I can't imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that these guys are young men and young women, but, you know, to put that kind of pressure on them and say, hey, we're giving you free schooling. Well, they don't even have enough time when you schedule their arrangements like that and they're flying in the night of a test, you know, to prepare for it. And so you're putting the money, which, you know, for getting that schedule completed to where they could host the Big Ten or have the Big Ten tournament out at Market Square and make that kind of money, and then for the kids to not get any kind of royalties for their jersey sales or anything like that, you know, I agree with you, man. I mean, it needs to be looked at. But unfortunately, it's like anything. I don't think it's not going to come from the NCAA. You know, it's going to have to come from like a player's, and that's where the difference with the NBA is, where you've got a union solidified to fight for their interests, and you don't have anybody fighting for the players, you know.
I agree, man.
It's a bummer, dude. I hope Purdue can figure it out, man. You know, I'm a Purdue fan, and I hopefully the seniors can hold it together and play some tight D. Like I said, I didn't get to catch the game, but it sounded like they played some excellent defense, at least in the second
half. They
did.
They did. They held them to they basically held them to 36 points. Cal State Fullerton was on 36 points for a while, man. I mean, I think maybe like with about 14 minutes left in the game, they were on 36, man. So, I mean, I didn't see all of the game because I was out working, but I saw a little bit on my phone, and it seemed like they were locking them down. But yeah, you know, like I said, they have to go back to the way they played those first 19 games of the season. They need to, run that smooth motion offense the way they was running it, and they need to play lockdown defense. They need to play team defense. And like I said, I believe that defense could be better with Harms in there because he's more energetic. He can move his feet better than Haas. But sometimes he get a little wild, getting foul trouble. So, like I was telling my wife, he's going to be the guy next year. And this is his chance to start it right now. He's about to be the guy.
True.
As far as,
and
as far
I
as center.
Think, and I agree. Carson will be the guy. But, the leader of the team. But, Harns is going to be the emotional leader. You can already tell just by the way. But I've never seen – I mean, that can also be a negative because, I mean, this guy complains about every call. It's never never his fault, so hopefully and Painter and Brantley and Brantley, who probably works with Harns the most, they can control that or get him to be a little bit more reasonable on that kind of stuff. But I don't know. It'll be interesting, because there's a couple. There was another guy on the bench. I forget his name, man. Another big guy.
Jabril Taylor.
What's up? What happened to him? I used to hear a lot about him.
I don't know
then
why he don't play. I don't understand why he doesn't play. He only gets in at garbage time, man. I don't understand that.
So, some of that I attribute a lot of it to Painter because it's like, hey, we could have been in a much better situation had you played Harms more and Taylor, and it wouldn't have been such a letdown because, quite frankly, Haas was an offensive player. I don't know what the NBA thinks of him defensively or his ability to move his body because he's just slow reaction.
He can't move.
You ain't gonna ever change
he can't
that.
Move.
You can't change that. Anyway.
And that's the thing that's crazy. Is he's the same size as Shaq, but Shaq was athletic and nimble. Shaq could move. Shaq was fast and quick. He's slow.
Right. And he's in way better shape than Shaq. So you can tell it's just a genetic thing that you're not going to be able to change. He just doesn't have those same fast twitch muscles or whatever. And, all the other stuff, man, he's got it. He's got a for 7'2", he's got a good shot. He's a good free throw shooter. I'm talking about Haas, but
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see Sunday, man. Boiler up.
Boiler up. Well, man, thanks for letting me call in.
Hey, no problem, Ryan. Hey, man, call any man. I do this, like I told you, I do this Fridays. I've been on kind of hiatus, though. I haven't done this. This is my first time in like a month. But normally I do this every Friday and at 6:30, man. So if you ever want to call to talk about some sports, man, we could talk about Boilers. We could talk about whatever. I give the callers the option to throw out, sports. It don't just have to be my topic that I throw out. If you got anything you want to talk about, like, hey, T-Wash, you want to talk about, what you think about the Pacers or what you think about the Lakers? We can do that.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I checked or I was listening to it. Well, the first 10 minutes, I clicked on at 6:10 minutes. I got on, it ended up being somebody else, man. It was something about health and aliens. So,
oh, no, that's not me, man.
I was wondering when I was going to hear your voice. I was like, man, I don't know. Maybe this is his wife. I'm not sure,
But,
Yeah, so I caught it. I caught a little bit, and then I was driving between Brown County and Bloomington, so I didn't want to call in then because I knew I'd cut out on you. But no, it's good talking, and yeah, boiler up, and you know, I keep my eye on some other things too. I mean, we definitely watch the Pacers, and then we're getting into football season as far as you know what the agency is going to look like, and where we go from there.
Oh yeah. All right, buddy. All right, well, man. Hey, like I said, man, you're welcome to call whenever, man. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And
yeah.
I'll talk to you soon, man. I'll probably be texting you on Sunday, man. You know I'm going to text you win or lose Sunday, man, but we'll see.
Do it. Do it. My family will just be putting up with me, so it'll be nice. Give me, shoot me a text, bro.
Okay, buddy.
All right, man. Have a good weekend.
All right. Take it easy. Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, that was my man Ryan, one of my fellow Boilermaker fans. You know, we had to talk some Purdue sports, but it doesn't have to be about Purdue. It can be about whatever. You want to talk about, look, I am not a Colts fan at all, but I like Andrew Luck. I know I reside here in Indianapolis, but I can talk Colts too. Like I said, I like Andrew Luck. You know, even, you know, if this was the days of Peyton Manning, I would even talk about him. You know, even though we were heated rivalries, you know, the Patriots-Colts thing. But I got another call. Let's see who this is. What's going
hey,
on
what's
in Sports
up,
Chat
can
with T-Watch? Who's calling?
It's Eric.
Yeah, I hear you. What's going on?
All right, sorry, man. I meant to call you earlier. Girlfriend had called me.
don't worry about it, man. You good, man. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, it's all going good. Settled in at the new place. Settled in at the new job. I miss everyone back
all
in the
right.
place, but selling a good
all right, man. Sounding
speaking
good,
of the
man.
Patriots, I want to talk about NFL
okay.
free agency for a bit. All right. How are you guys going to replace Nate Solder on that left tackle, man?
Man, Eric, I have no idea, man. But I'm going to tell you the one thing I do know is that Belichick is not making no splash moves. He's going to do what he always do during a free agency period. That's why last year was an anomaly. Last year, we were, as Patriots fans, we were shocked that they picked up all these free agents, that Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore and Coney Ealy. And we didn't expect that. Belichick don't do that. Normally, Belichick just let the free agency wave just go by, and then he picked up the table scraps. So that's what I'm expecting him to do this year. And it's messed up because you're going to have a 41-year-old quarterback with a piece of crap left tackle who can't protect his blind side. So, I don't know, man. I'm hoping that maybe they move up in the draft and try to get that kid from Notre Dame who's supposed to be the best tackle in the draft. That's what I'm hoping, but they're not going to trade up to get that high in the draft. So, honestly, I don't know what they're going to do, man. I have no idea what they're going to do as far as the left tackle position. I just hope that they get somebody that Dante Scarnecchia, one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL, hoping they get somebody and make him legitimate, you know, make him just not be a complete failure at that spot. Because if they are, then Brady going to get killed, man, and he going to end up getting knocked out. And then them trading Jimmy is really going to make me even madder because Brady will get knocked out.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. I heard somewhere that you guys had Matt Light on that left tackle position for like 10 years. Then you have Nate Solder for 6. I'm very, very surprised that you guys did not end up keeping him. And like what you're saying about free agency last year, like you guys were killing it with all those big signings. All right, it was supposed to play out like this. This was supposed to be Tom Brady riding off into the sunset, one more Super Bowl, then you retire after that. You solidify yourself as the best ever, you know, even better than Joe Montana, in my opinion. But I don't know what the Patriots are going to do. I mean, like you said, Tom Brady's 41 years old, and you got to gear up again. And I'm just looking around. The Eagles are getting better, and the Vikings are getting better.
I agree with the Eagles front. The Vikings... I mean, their defense is great, but it's, you know, Kirk Cousins is the man for sure. is he going to handle the pressure of being the man? You know what I mean? So I don't really want to put them in yet. I got to watch the Vikings play first before I could put them, you know, to the top of the league. But I agree with you on Philadelphia. The way they're building it up and the Rams. Look out for the Rams, man. They got to keep
Richard
the lead
Sherman,
and Marcus
Peters. And
well, no,
Rich,
no, Sherman's
oh, wait,
going to San Francisco.
That's the 49ers, my bad.
Yeah, I'm talking the Rams. They got Aqib Talib, and they traded for Marcus Peters in from Kansas City. They secondary is no joke. And then you got Todd Gurley and Jared Goff, the way they play. So, in my opinion, I think in the NFC, it's going to be the Rams and the Eagles, man. And in the AFC, I got to keep the Patriots up at the top, man. It's going to be the Patriots. And I think Jacksonville going to be back in the mix. And depending on if Deshaun Watson come back right, I'll put Houston in that mix too. Oh, and you can't leave out the Steelers, man. You know, it's not the usual suspects in the AFC. You know, even though the Patriots, they need a left tackle, they always find some kind of way. Even though they pick up the table scraps, you know, after free agency period, they pick up the people, you know, who teams don't want. They still find a way, man. As long as Belichick and Brady there, they'll find a way to be there in the end. So that's why I can't knock the Patriots out. Even though they're my squad, I call it how it is, though. Until I see them, you know, just completely fall on their face, I can't, like, knock them out and say they're not going to be one of the top teams in the AFC.
Oh, I never underestimate New England as long as Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are still there. And it's just like Jurassic Park, man. You know, life finds a way. The Patriots will find a way. They always do. They'll somehow make the pieces fit. The thing about the Patriots that's good, and I hate saying this as a Colts fan, you know, but they have a great, great culture. You come in there and you conform to the culture and you do your job and you win. So, now I'm not counting the Patriots. They're definitely making the playoffs. But I think Jacksonville might have a chance to beat them this year. Just a little bit of a chance. But I'm very surprised they gave Bortles that big contract, though.
Me
I think
too,
he could have gotten.
Man.
Yeah. I think they could have been in the sweepstakes for Kirk Cousins, but I guess Bortles showed them just enough that they're going to re-up him. But I was very surprised.
I was surprised about that, too, man, because I felt like if Kirk Cousins would have. I mean, Kirk Cousins, he picked the right team. You know, like I said, the Vikings, all they need is a quarterback. The Vikings got everything in place. Just like Jacksonville, all they need is a quarterback. But, you know, like I said, with Kirk Cousins now, he's the man. $84 million guaranteed, he's the man. So is he going to be able to mount to the pressure that's about to be heaped on him? And that's what I want to see. To me, the first six games are going to be telling. You know, the Vikings' first game is going to be telling on how Kirk Cousins performs.
Yeah, I think if Kirk Cousins performs badly, that's just going to make Case Keenum look even better. And I'm glad Case Keenum got a job in Denver because he is very overrated and underrated, I'm sorry. And I don't think he got enough credit for the Vikings' success, so I hope he does well in Denver. But, yeah, man, I do think Kirk Cousins is better than Case Keenum, but like you said, there's a lot more pressure there, you know, and I'm very interested to see how he'll handle it.
Yeah, me too. So, okay, man, what about your Colts, man? So what are the Colts going to do in this draft?
Okay, so we're picking three. You know, I thought Barkley was going to go first to the Browns, but then they signed Carlos Hyde, so I have no idea if they're going to pick him now. But we Colts fans know it's going to come down to either Bradley Chubb or Barkley. You know, like I was telling, like, Bob, like, my heart wants Barkley, but my mind wants Chubb. You know, I would love to have the flashy running back, generational talent. He could be the Edgerrin James that could be with the Colts for many years to come. Or you can get an elite pass rusher, like the top defensive prospect in the draft in Chubb. But
yeah,
if
and
somehow
that's what the Colts need.
Yeah, exactly. And if those two players are off the board, I fully expect us to trade back, honestly. There's too many good quarterbacks in this draft for some team to make us a deal, like a really good deal, to get some more picks.
Well, I've
heard
ask you
Buffalo,
this, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying the Bills, I've heard the Bills, I think they have the 12th pick and the 22nd pick. They could give us a nice package if they wanted to move up for a QB. But what were you going to say?
I was going to ask you, I mean, do you think they need to draft a quarterback? Because the last time, and like I said, man, I'm not a Colts fan, but I like Andrew Luck. And I wish he wouldn't have took a, I wish Gregson wouldn't have set him up to take a beating the way he did. Because Gregson is one who messed his young dude career up. And just hearing Andrew Luck talk the last time, he did like a little Skype thing. He was talking. It sounded like he was trying to convince everybody that he's okay. But it don't seem like he is, man. So you don't think they should draft the quarterback?
If the Colts do draft a quarterback, then definitely Luck is not coming back, and that would be heartbreaking. I have his jersey, I got all the shirts, I love him as a person and as a player. But honestly, I trust Jacoby Brissett a little bit. I think you can do reasonably well with Jacoby Brissett if you just give him enough time in that pocket and give him some more weapons. But the thing that's pissing me off about the Colts is we got the fourth most cap space, and we really aren't doing anything with it. And I don't know if it's just us not going after players, or players are just looking at us knowing we're not going to be winning this year, you know, because we have the Jaguars, the Texans, and the Titans. The AFC South is now a tough division.
Tough, man.
You're going to have either the Jags or Texans winning the division, then you're going to have at least one wild card, maybe even two, you know, because the Titans got in the playoffs last year. And these teams are going out in the free agency and getting better. So, you know, I think Colts definitely finish last in the division this year.
Yeah, they definitely a tough division, man. Everybody getting better. I mean, like we said, Jacksonville, they're right up there at the top. And the way Deshaun Watson looked before he got hurt, man, they looked like they were capable of making a Super Bowl run. I mean, he's going to be back. You got to see how he performed. And then, you know, the Titans have become New England South. You know, the coach, Mike Vrabel, our old linebacker. Now, and both of their corners, Logan Ryan, Malcolm Butler, and Deion Lewis. Yep. It's like, man.
Hey, man, if it works, you can definitely try to copy it. You know, I'm not even going to touch on Josh McDaniels in this podcast, but let's not talk about him.
Hey,
I'm still a little bit
salty. Man. Yeah, I know. Even I said that that's a punk move, dude. But to me, that told me that he's going to be next in line to get the job in New England because he's done. He won't get a job anywhere else because of that. So, crap.
Oh, definitely not.
That he's going to be the coach there. Because I think Belichick, I still believe Belichick going to leave before this season start. I don't know, man. That stuff with him and Brady, it's toxic. So I wouldn't be shocked if Belichick leave before the season start, man. They do the draft. He set up Josh McDaniels. They do the draft, and he just call it quits. I wouldn't be shocked. Either that or this is going to be his last year coaching.
I think one more Super Bowl, you know, I think he retires. Whether or not they win or not, I think he retires. But I think if something like that were to happen, it would have to happen now with free agency maybe. But I don't know what you can explain more on your theory on that, but I think there's a bigger chance Gronkowski will go into acting before Belichick steps down. can you hear me? Got disconnected. I can't hear you.
A little bit. Like you, I hear so much, and I don't hear anything.
You're
like,
skipping
now
me,
here.
But I can't hear anything. Yeah, let me try a recall.
All right, I had to see if that worked or not. I don't know what happened, but I was on this microphone, and somehow the system bumped me out. So, Eric, I don't know what happened, man, but I'm back. Okay, here you go. Yeah, man, I don't know what the heck happened. Yeah, this microphone, man, I don't know what happened, dude. It bumped me out of the system, so I basically had to call you back on my cell phone. So instead of using the microphone, I'm on my cell phone now. I don't know what the heck happened. Every once in a while, it'll do that, man. No, it wasn't you. I thought it was you too, but once it told me that the host was bumped out, then I knew it was me. Yeah, man. Like, when I be on the microphone, it does that every once in a while. But when I call into the system with my phone, I don't never have any issues. But I don't be wanting to hold a phone. I'd rather speak in the microphone. But,
yeah,
man, back to that stuff, though. You know,
why do you think Belichick's going to leave before the season starts?
I believe he's going to leave because of the situation that's going on with him and Tom Brady, man. They at odds. They don't like each other. Belichick really wanted to start anew with Jimmy Garoppolo. He really did. And I agreed with him, like I told you and I've told other Colts fans and everybody. Hey, to other Patriots fans, it might be blasphemous for me to say this, but I wanted Jimmy to start this year. I wanted to start fresh. My hope was for them to win the Super Bowl against the Eagles and then, you know, him let Brady go. And I think that's what he wanted to do and start fresh with Jimmy, because I believe with Jimmy, the Patriots got another 10 years of winning. And I believe that Jimmy's good enough. He knew the offense so good, he's good enough to take them, you know, to the Super Bowl. I believe that. Now, I don't know if they would have went to the Super Bowl this year, but I know they would have made the playoffs. And, you know, like I said, Tom Brady, he one hit away from being done, man. I believe Jimmy's going to be a star in San Francisco. And I think that's the reason why him and Belichick are at odds, man, because he went to Kraft basically crying, you know, saying that he wanted to stay. And Kraft made, you know, Belichick trade Garoppolo. Because, look, when he did that press conference, you know, when he traded Garoppolo, I never heard Belichick talk so high and glowingly about another player before, ever, especially another quarterback. I mean, that dude, he's talking about, you know, he basically liked Jimmy a lot, and, you know, he's going to miss him. He's a great player, and then he didn't want to trade him to Cleveland. He traded him to San Francisco, man, where he knew he could probably flourish under Mike Shanahan. Well, yeah, Kyle Shanahan's son. So I think, you know, it's a beef, man. There's a beef going on with Brady and Belichick right now. Brady knows that Belichick was going to get rid of him. So, and you know, those guys have egos, man. So that's why I believe that, you know, Belichick's going to be gone, man. I think he's gone. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if he leave before the season. You know, he just go through this draft process, get the team set up with Josh, and then leave. Either that or he's going to leave after this next season. I mean, because, like I said, they promised Josh McDaniels the job because how he did
the coach,
he's not getting a job nowhere else. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if that goes into effect this year or next year. It could be interesting maybe if they just have Josh McDaniels on training wheels right now, just have him in on everything, you know, take him through the draft and everything like that. Could be interesting if that actually turns out happen. I would give you all the credit because, like, there were some big rumors that, you know, he could go to the Giants, you know, because he has a lot of history there, and the fact that Nate Soldier went there. I don't know. I wonder how hard they really fought to keep him. because that's the left tackle protecting the 41-year-old quarterback.
Well, like I said, man, if you want to think conspiracy theory, hey, Belichick and Brady at odds right now. Hey, I mean, dude, honestly, I feel like Belichick sabotaged the Super Bowl, man. I mean, dude, I don't care what nobody say. I don't care what Malcolm Butler did. If he didn't rape or kill nobody, there's no way, especially when you see that Eric Rowe wasn't working. It's a 45-minute halftime, man, at the Super Bowl. Dude, you could have made the adjustments and put that man in the second half. And I don't care. Malcolm Butler good enough to make one play, dude. I mean, in that second half, they did not stop the Eagles from getting completing a third down or a fourth down the whole half. They would have got one of them stops from Malcolm Butler. He would have made a tackle. And that's all they would have needed. They literally needed one stop to win the Super Bowl, dude. So, hey, I wouldn't be shocked if Belichick sabotaged that, man. Dude, he mad, man. Tom Brady took some power from that dude. Because think about it. Robert Kraft never said during the Belichick. He let Belichick run everything, man. He let Belichick run everything except getting rid of Tommy. You know, because Kraft said Tommy's going to retire a Patriot. So he intervened, man. He took some of Bill Belichick's power away. Because Belichick was going to get rid of Brady, dude. Garoppolo was supposed to be the starter this year. So I wouldn't be shocked if he sabotaged the Super Bowl. I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't give Solder that money to mess up Brady's blindside. hey, man. I wouldn't be shocked, dude. I'm not going to sit here and say that it's impossible, dog. And then plus on top of that, man, Patriots not paying. The Giants gave that dude a $60-some million contract, $32 million guaranteed. Patriots ain't doing that, dog.
No.
But they did it for Gilmore last year. Man,
yeah,
I don't know.
That definitely pissed Malcolm Butler off to see Gilmore get all that money and you're going to give me a franchise tag. Or whatever. Yeah. But
exactly.
I was watching that.
Exactly.
I was watching. Yeah. Like you said, the power struggle. I was watching Undisputed and Shannon Sharp made a great point. You know, Kraft didn't say anything when Bill Belichick, he released Ty Law. He let Willie McGinnis go. He let Rodney Harrison go. Richard Seymour, you know, Crafton, bat an eye. Like, that's your team, Bill. But when it comes to Tom Brady, like, no, that's it. You know, Tom is the he's the golden boy. He deserves to be the golden boy.
That was
but
the
eventually,
one time he intervened, man. That was the one time intervened, man. One time.
Yeah.
And I think that's all it took, man. He took some of Brady, basically took some of Belichick's power. And I think Belichick pissed off about that, dog. So that's what I'm saying. I don't think that they're going to be able to function, man. We're going to hear about a lot more drama that we normally don't hear about from up there, dude.
Yeah, because the mouth of the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, it happened mid-season. You know, they traded him.
He was trying to keep him, man.
Yeah. He could have gotten any package he wanted because everybody wanted Jimmy. But Bill Belichick made a point to put Jimmy in the best situation possible with Kyle Shanahan, and I agree with you. I think he's going to flourish in San Fran. But I think
too,
we're going to be hearing
it. I hate it.
Yeah. I think there's going to be some leaks this year, some drama out of New England this year.
Yeah. Because, you know, he going to be having success out there in San Francisco. And all I'm going to be thinking is, damn, he could have been doing that in Foxborough. And all these people that, you know, Brady lovers, you know, and think that Tom Brady could do nothing wrong and think that, you know, I'm crazy for saying that I want Brady gone. Like, even my wife was like, what? Tom is playing good. Why you want him gone? I'm like, no, it ain't that I want him gone. It's time, man. It's time.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you've been great, Tom. You got us 5 Super Bowls. If he'd won this year, you got us 6 Super Bowls. Hey, don't let him finish his career. Because, you know, he's supposed to finish his career in San Francisco. He grew up idolizing Joe Montana. Hey, let go home. Go to San Francisco. Let Jimmy take over now. Because the team clearly showed they can win with Jimmy. Jimmy can make all the throws. He can win. And then the thing I like about Jimmy, he can move. Unlike Tom Brady, slow, slew foot, but can't move. Jimmy can move, man.
He can probably catch.
Jimmy remind me of a young Aaron Rodgers, dude.
Yeah. Jimmy could probably catch a pass.
That's what Jimmy remind me of. Yeah, I know, man. Tell me about it. That's what I'm saying, dog. Dude can't move, man.
Gonna have to be moving in that pocket now. You gotta be watching on that blind side. You better step up a lot quicker now. You know, I'm worried about if he if he goes down,
they're gonna end up having to do depending on how good that left tackle is that they end up getting, they're gonna do a lot of match protections. That running back gonna have to be doing a lot of helping out. So
yeah.
I don't know, man.
Do you guys have a running back that's good at pass protection?
Interesting to see what they do. What's that?
I'll be watching. Do you guys have a running back right now that's good at pass protect?
Well, James White not bad. James White pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, you guys
James
need to pick up
bad.
Frank Gore.
Hey, you know what? I would take him.
Yeah.
I would take him.
Sold.
They probably will, though. Like I said, man, they're going to get the scraps. Watch.
Yep.
They probably will.
Off,
hey, I wouldn't be shocked if they took up Frank Gore.
Yeah.
They're going to get the scraps, dog. They're going to let the free agency period go by, and they're going to get those guys that, you know, the leftovers, man. That's what they do. That's what Belichick do, man. With the exception of last year, that's normally what he do. So we'll see how it go, man. It's going to be interesting, though.
Yeah. Do you have another caller behind
think,
me,
man?
Or how much time you got?
No. Another caller not showing up on the screen, man, so this is all you.
Okay. Let's dip into talking. A little bit of – let's get into a little bit of NBA. Pacers are actually the third seed right now. They've been playing very well, you know.
Wow.
I think we would have beat Toronto last night if everybody was healthy. But do you think the Raptors are legit – or are they just going to choke in the playoffs like they always do? So I personally think they're going to choke. They're like that.
Yeah, until I see them not choking the playoffs, man, I'm going to say they're going to choke because they always do. They have good regular seasons. Then when playoff time come around, man, they find a way to choke it off. So until I see any different, I'm going to agree with you and say that they're going to choke when it matters most. Kind of like my thing with Houston and James Harden. You know, I did a show about them, man. I mean, basically, like, the whole show I was talking about James Harden and Houston, how I believe that they're going to choke. You know, they playing his good regular season. James Harden, he always have great regular seasons. But in the playoffs, he choked. Chris Paul have good regular seasons. In the playoffs, he choked.
He choked.
Now they're on the same team together. What are they going to do when it matters most? I don't think they're going to beat Golden State in the seven-game series, even if Houston get home court advantage. Like, it's looking like they're going to get. I still don't think they'll be Golden State in the seven-game series, man.
No,
because I
want to
see if James Harden's going to play or is he going to choke, just like Chris Paul. What they going to do when the game's on the line, what they going to do. As far as the Pacers, man, I'm liking what I'm seeing. And if it wasn't for Toronto's coach, Dwayne Casey, I would give Coach of the Year to Nick McMillan. Dude, they – all the people have completely changed this team, man. And the one thing gripe I do got about the Pacers, man, is Miles Turner, man. I mean, granted, he makes those jump shots. Dude, get your big butt inside and play some inside big man ball, too. It's like all he want to do is shoot jumpers, man. That's not going to work all the time.
Doesn't have any muscle.
He's just not physical. He's a finesse big man.
Oh. Yeah. Just like you can,
I like DeMontis Sabonis.
The
they
finesse.
Should start him.
Dude, those guys are both like 21, 22, and that's what I love about it.
I know.
We got like two very young bigs. You know, with the Paul George trade, at first I was like, oh, no, man. We got to tank this year. We're going to win 30 games, but now we've won 40 games, and it's turned out pretty well.
It's been a good trade, man.
Very
Pacers
good
doing better than Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I don't think they needed Carmelo. I think that having him on the team hurts him. Yeah. I've always thought Carmelo's overrated.
Man, you sound like my wife. I always liked Carmelo, man. She don't like Carmelo. Right. Always like Carmelo, man. I believe Carmelo, man. He just, he don't play a lick of defense at all. He not gonna rebound. He's just a scorer, man. That's what he do. He's just a scorer. He need to be on the team, you know, where, you know, you got a facilitator and you know you just set him up for some shots. You know.
He needs to come off the bench.
Yeah,
but
that's
something
he's never
gonna
do.
I don't know if he would come off the bench though. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think he will, man. But Eric, I actually do got another call behind you, man.
Oh, okay.
But I do want to thank you for calling. And dude, like I said before, every Friday, man. Like I've been on hiatus, man, for like a month. I haven't done this, but I normally do it every Friday. So Friday, man, 6:30, man. If you're not busy, give me a call, man. And like I said, it doesn't have to be about the topics I throw out. Like you said, you know, we talked about the Pacers. That's not part of my topic. But whatever type of sports you want to talk about, man, just, you know, can't be no cricket or, you know, no golf. You know, no golf or nothing like that. I can't fade that. Or, you know, or soccer. Anything else I can discuss. I can do MMA, I can do hockey, I can do baseball, basketball, football. we ain't gonna talk no cricket or golf.
Yeah, I hope you get back to doing these regular basis, man. I really love talking sports with you.
Oh, man, that's cool, dude. Yeah, dude, call, man. Call on Fridays or message me. You got plenty of options to talk to me, man.
Of course, man, of course. All right, man. Hey, have a good rest of your talk, man, and I will talk to you later sometime.
All right, man. You have a good night, man. Hey, and congratulations again, right, man, and good luck with everything.
All right. Thank you so much, T. Appreciate it.
All right, man. No problem.
All right.
All right. That was my man, Eric. We had a nice long discussion about his Colts and Pacers and the team that he hates so much, my Patriots. You know, we had to talk about it. You know, it's all good. But I got another call. Let's see who this is. What's going on in the sports chat with T-Wash? Who's calling?
T-Wash, this is the Idaho Kid calling.
Hey, Idaho Kid, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing terribly well. Hey, listen, I really enjoyed your program. As a matter of fact, I almost forgot to call. But anyway, you know, you're pretty knowledgeable in sports and everything. One quick question is a jovial. Why don't you like Brady or Belichick?
Why don't I like him?
Yeah, just joking.
What do you mean by that? You know that's the team I root for, right, Sam? I mean, right?
I know that. So I'm saying, I mean, the way I hear you talking, you know, like, you know, but, you know, you're on the money, apparently, you know, because of Belichick and the decision that he made and Brady. Like
I believe Brady and Belichick have issues with each other because Belichick wanted to let Brady go after this season and start fresh and anew with Jimmy Garoppolo. But his hand was forced by Brady because Brady basically went to the owner, Robert Kraft, and basically let it be known that he wanted to play, you know, X amount of extra years. And so that put the onus on the owner to force Bill Belichick's hand into trading Jimmy Garoppolo, who's going to be the future of the Patriots. Now, that's the issue I have. I have the issue because I wanted Tom Brady. I mean, I wanted to start fresh with Jimmy Garoppolo this year. So my hope was that the Patriots and Brady would win the Super Bowl this year, and then they would just, you know, give Brady his release, let him go. Let him choose to go wherever he want to go and finish his career, but start fresh with Jimmy. And that's the beef that's going on right now between Belichick and Brady. Brady knew that Belichick was going to get rid of him and start fresh with Jimmy Garoppolo. And Belichick knows that Tom Brady basically went to the owner, Robert Kraft, and basically got the owner to make Belichick trade Jimmy Garoppolo. So that's the like the gripe and the beef that's going on up there. But no, I'm just like Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady's been great for the team I root for. You know, he's got him 5 Super Bowls. But I wanted to start fresh with Jimmy Garoppolo because I believe he's going to be a star. I would take 10 more years of success over 1 or 2 because if Brady get hurt, he's probably going to be done and he probably retired. Like, say we go into next season, Brady gets hurt, seriously. He's probably done. He's going to go ahead and retire, you know. And then, you know, their team and their season is going to the crapper. Whereas, you know, a young Jimmy Garoppolo, we got another 10, 15 years of success. I think that's why they're having all this drama that's going on in New England right now.
Okay, well, I believe you. Like I said, I didn't know what was going on behind the scenes, and I was just joking when I mentioned to you about that. But yeah, that makes better sense anyway. They put a new man in there because, you know, Brady, he's been around for a while. Like, say, if he gets injured or something, you know, then game over, you know. But, I can understand where you're coming from on that issue. Hey, listen, about the Sweet 16 or March Madness. Okay, we'll just start from there. Have you been watching many of the games? And you said, who do you think will be in the Sweet 16 or the Sweet 8 or whatever? In other words, to play the game, who do you pick to come out on top and play in the final game? Have you made any suggestions? Have you made any comments or ideas about who's going to be in the Final Four yet?
Well, in my Final Four, I believe that
I know it's too early to tell yet, isn't it?
Yeah, it's too early to tell, but I'm gonna put North Carolina there just because they won it all last year and they're a strong team. And I want to go with Michigan State getting there also. So I got North Carolina coming out of the West bracket. I got Michigan State coming out of the Midwest bracket. I want to say Villanova, but I got a feeling they're going to get upset. so I really don't – right now I don't know who's going to come out of the East. In the South, I want to go with Virginia, but they had a major injury. So, you know, right now, I got the West. You know, I got North Carolina coming out of the West, and I got Michigan State coming out of the Midwest. I can't really call the South and the East brackets yet who's going to come out of there. But my team, you know, I was hoping my team, Purdue, would be able to come out the East, but they lost their big man today. He had a fractured elbow, and he's done for the rest of the tournament. So I know. And the thing that really sucked about it was in a meaningless game. I mean, it was meaningless time. They were up by 20 points. So it was really no reason for him to be in the game. They were up 20 points. He could have been on the bench getting ready for the game on Sunday.
Yeah, I hear you. Speaking of 20 points, there were a couple upsets there, you know, that I watched yesterday. KY,
they did
win, but, you know, but it was only, by 2 points or something, not very large margin. Also, what I really enjoyed, I watched the games in Boise, you know, because I'm an Idaho kid. But anyway, the two games out there, Davidson, they really impressed me. But KY got away with that one. Also, in the Buffalo, Arizona. Excuse me for laughing. But about 19 points, you know, Buffalo, I'm impressed, you know. So I'll have to keep them on my list of winners, you know. Did you watch that game?
Yeah. I actually fell asleep on that Buffalo Arizona game, but I heard. Really? I mean, I heard about it, and before I fell asleep, they were playing them real tough. And you know, I woke up this morning, and I heard about how Buffalo basically destroyed them. And I'm like, wow, a 13 seed beat a number 4 seed bad, and now they got to play Kentucky in the second round. So hey. Maybe they could be the Cinderella team. Maybe Buffalo could beat Kentucky, you know, especially since Kentucky barely beat Davidson. Maybe Buffalo will beat them tomorrow. We'll see.
Well,
I know I want to watch it.
If Buffalo played like they did last night, yeah, they'll knock Kayvon off with him, you know. There won't be any problem. But it really impressed me, the Buffalo. They have a pretty good team there, you know. And I was also surprised about Loyola, you know, and my team, Miami, down here.
Yeah.
Loyola. And that was another close game. The games I've been watching, they've been really, really close, you know. The Virginia Tech game, they won by, what, 3 points or something? So it's a pretty good season. It's a pretty good playoff so far, and I'm really enjoying it. And I really don't know who to put on top slots yet because some of the teams have been getting knocked off, you know. So, you know, which is good. I kind of like,
I know.
I like to go for the underdog sometimes. But Duke is still in there, you know.
Yeah.
Do you think Duke will?
I just want to see a number 16 seed beat a one. It's never happened.
Right, right. It never happened. Huh?
That's what I want to see. I want to see a one go down to a 16. I mean, we got a chance to see it. You know, Virginia plays UMBC tonight. That's a number one against a number 16. Who knows?
Well,
maybe it can happen. Maybe it can happen. I don't know, though.
I know. I'm an underdog ploy. I love for the lower man to beat the higher man. It just does me good, especially when Duke loses games. You know, it really, you know, excites me. Hey, but listen, anyway.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed your show tonight, and I'll be keeping on tabs because you're pretty informative. And like I said, I was listening to your program, and it was really, really interesting, and I learned a lot. So you're the man on the money, T. Wash, and I'll be calling you sometime, and we'll discuss the NCAA more by the weekend or whatever. It'll be more teams going down. We, you know, we'll see. Maybe we can figure out who's going to win the Final Four. What do you think?
Yes, that sounds fine to me. That sounds fine. Like I said, I believe Michigan State's definitely going to be there in North Carolina. But like I said, right now, in the East, I was hoping it would have been my squad, Purdue, but I don't know. I don't want to just go chalk and put all number ones in the Final Four. So I want to say Villanova going to lose. They got to play Alabama next, and that's going to be a good game because Avery Johnson is the coach of Alabama, and he has his point guard, Colin Sexton, who's pretty good. So we'll see how that turns out.
Yep.
But,
so we're looking forward to some good games coming on.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Idaho Kid. Call me Fridays, 6:30.
Okay, will do. Take care, T-Wash. Enjoy the weekend.
All right. Thank you. All right. Mm-hmm. What's going on in Sports Chat with T-Wash? Who's calling?
What's up, T-Wash? This is Gear. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. You got 2 minutes and 30 seconds. What's going on?
What's going on? I wanted to call in because I heard about Hawks, man. I know that's a team for Duke. I didn't even, like, see the game, but I just heard about them.
It's tough. It's tough. And they got to play Butler,
that's
too,
man. That's crazy. Yeah, I know. This tournament hasn't been really I wasn't looking forward to it because, you know, my team is Wisconsin, so we haven't made it for the first time in a while, so I haven't been interested in it. But I was looking forward to seeing Butler and Purdue battle each other. But now, you know, with Haas, what exactly happened? Just tell me
then
I'm going to hang up. I don't know what happened.
Okay. The Boilers were up 20 points, man, in the second half. Playing a good game defensively, locking that Cal State Fullerton down. It was no reason for Haas to be in the game. They were up 20 points, and he went up to grab a rebound, and a Cal State Fullerton player grabbed his arm and, like, pulled him down. And, you know, Haas being a big dude, man, he fell down like a sack of bricks. And he fell right on his elbow, man, and fractured.
That's crazy,
man. He's done.
Well, I guess
that's a horrible way to end your college career, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I guess Carson Vince
Vince,
step it up, man.
Yeah.
Nice to hear from you.
Well, I'm not worried about Carson.
Yeah. I appreciate it, man. I'll call in next time.
Okay. Yeah. Well, like I was saying, I'm not worried about Carson Edwards. He going to get his. But Vince is the guy who needs to step up. I mean, the last, like, 10 games, Vince has been a no-show. Vince, to beat Butler tomorrow, because we know how Butler is when they get in the dance, man. Butler goes on the run. And the way they destroy Arkansas today, as a Boiler fan, I'm nervous. Vince needs to score between 20 and 25 points. Mathias needs to hit a couple threes. Ryan Klein needs to come off the bench, hit a couple threes. P.J. Thompson has to play steady at the point guard. No turnovers. Score a couple threes. Not worried about Carson Edwards. He's going to get his. Boylan's just going to have to ball out, man. Matt Harms, he's going to be the key. He has to do dirty work and all that other good stuff. For the show, thank you guys.